A few years ago, one of the kids in my online coaching program said to me, "Coach Rebecca, I wish we could just go to a gym and have you as our coach. We would all be so happy and so confident." And that warmed my heart, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, that would be the best." And that comment stuck with me for years. So now I'm going to do something about it. I am inviting gymnasts from all over the country to join me for the first ever Confident Gymnast Camp this August 3rd and 4th. This camp is all about breaking through mental blocks. So if you're struggling with a skill and you want me and my team to help you break through in real time, then check out confidentgymnast.com for details. Hi guys, on today's podcast, I'm going to give you 5 lessons from my performance anxiety journey. So this time of year, a lot of athletes are ramping up, stress is coming, the ticking clock is happening, making everybody tense. So today I'm going to talk about how performance anxiety showed up for me when I was an adolescent and as an adult too, the 5 lessons that I learned the hard way so that you don't have to learn them the hard way, and how I deal with those nerves today. Let's go. Welcome to the Perform Happy Podcast, where athletes and their support squad come to learn the secret weapon for sports success. I'm your host, Rebecca Smith. First, I was a scaredy cat gymnast, then a coach. Now I'm a sports psychology expert and a parent. Athletes, whether you're feeling stuck or you're having the best season of your life, I'm here to help you reach peak performance and maximum enjoyment. Hey everybody, I'm Coach Rebecca Smith, and today I'm going to tell you a little story. A little story about my journey through performance anxiety. The reason that I want to talk about this is because we are here at the end of October. Oh my gosh, it's at the end of October already. I cannot believe it. Which means that competition season is coming. For any of you optional level gymnasts, anybody who's got a winter season, the clock is ticking. And I don't have to tell you that because the coaches are all telling you and everybody's aware. If you don't have your skills by this week, then you can't be that level because we have to do meet entries and you need to be great already. So I know a lot of people have probably already been feeling that stress, but November, it almost comes to a head where you're starting to rush progressions. You've got to like knock out good routines. You're not really able to slow things down and ask for help. You sort of just have to like push through, which typically, in my experience, has led to losing skills, getting stressed, getting tense, making mistakes. It's almost like a certain percentage of all athletes, as they approach competition season, actually start getting worse, which is not ideal, right? You're doing great all summer, you're cruising, you're just focusing on getting better. And then something shifts this time of year and you're all or nothing and you have to be perfect. And not everybody can sort of hold steady with their confidence during this phase. So over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be giving lots of tips, lots of suggestions, lots of hacks and tools so that you can cruise through this season with grace. Okay. So say hi in the comments if you are here live. If you're watching the replay, put replay in so that I know that you're on the replay. And let's go. So I want you to think for yourself, even if you're a parent and you're not the athlete in this scenario, have you ever choked under pressure? Have you ever had a massive amount of weight on your shoulders and you felt like you had to be perfect and you tried so hard and you blew it? And maybe you blew it in a, you know, big, awful way, or maybe you just blew it in a way that you knew and it just, you're like, oh, that was not my best. If you have, you're human. It's extremely normal to go into something that feels important, that you really care about. It's like your breathing gets shallow, your body gets tense, and then any kind of physical emotions just get a little strange. Things feel off, and then you get self-doubt, and then you've got negative thinking, and it's like this whole domino effect of like, oh my goodness, what the heck? I've been training forever, and then that's what I do under pressure. So a couple examples of that in my life were my first gymnastics competition. I was in level 4, which is today's level 3 for those of you who are gymnast families. And I remember my first competitive beam routine. I was sitting there waiting my turn and I could see my leotard beating. My heart was pounding so hard that my little velvet 90s leotard was like, boom, boom, boom. I felt like I was going to pee my pants.
My mouth got all dry. My hands were freezing cold and my mind was racing. And I was like, oh, I want to get it over with. Oh, I never want to do it. Oh my gosh, is it my turn? I remember fast forward to the relief when it was over. But the problem was I had to then endure that, you know, 1 minute of beam routine. And by the time it was my turn, I had gotten so worked up mentally and physically that I was tremoring. I was shaking. And there was this arabesque and a scale in my routine that you'd have to hold your leg up. And it was wobbling so much. I'm pretty sure I didn't fall. I probably fell. But I remember getting like a 5 or a 6 for a score. That's out of 10, folks. Because they counted wobbles in every single skill because I was shaking so badly. And I really cared and I was really pretty good at beam. But that's what came out during that important day because there was a judge looking at me and everyone was in the audience. So luckily I got a little better over time, but like not a whole lot better. Then there was this junior high dinner theater. I had, I think, one line. It was either one word or just a few words. And I had to just say this one word. And I was so excited that I got a part with a line. I wasn't just dancing in the background. And through the entire, it was like this whole first act, my little fluffy Western dress was like pounding. I was like, I couldn't see straight. I couldn't hear right. And I was just trying to remember what's that line. I kept blanking out and forgetting what I was supposed to say. So the entire experience leading up to that one line was so traumatic that that's all I remember. I have no idea if I even said the line. I think I said the line. It probably squeaked out of my throat. And then I like collapsed with relief that I had done it. I remember talking to my mom, who was an Italian opera singer, and she was like, yeah, I struggle with stage fright too. I was like, no way. There's no way you get up on stages in front of all these people. And she's like, yeah, I always have struggled with performance anxiety. And she talked to me about how she got through it. So I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. I used to, when I'd have to present to a class, even in college, I remember I had to present this thing I had done. And my mouth got so dry that I could barely speak. And then there's other times when even as an intern, when I was learning sports psychology, I'd go to speak to a big group of people and I'd feel like I was going to pee my pants. I'd see my heart beating again. And those sensations were so uncomfortable. It was so uncomfortable. And I had some experience of being uncomfortable and following through, but it was never my best work. So what I learned reflecting, and this is a lot of mental training, especially when you're working one-on-one with a coach, is reflecting. Because you learn so many lessons from all of those, I'm going to say, quote-unquote, failures. So many lessons. So some of the lessons that I learned are the difference between good fear and bad fear. There was a time when I was going to speak to a big rowing academy. You know, like hundreds of people, their parents, this giant room. I remember pulling up in my car and just feeling that feeling again, that like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go inside. I really don't want to do this. It felt so scary. It felt like I was going to, I don't know what, it wasn't rational. It was this physical experience of like, I can't do this. I called my husband and he's like, of course, you're going to probably fail like you always fail. He's very sarcastic. He's like, yeah, I'm sure it's going to be awful. Because he had talked to me through many of these scenarios where I felt really terrified. And then I'd call him after and be like, oh, it went great. And he's like, yeah, of course it did. So I call him before. I'm like, I'm so scared. He's like, it's going to go great. It always does. So he was able to give me that little reminder of, okay, maybe that's true. And so I had these sensations in my body, but I went in and give this talk and it was awesome. It was like one of the best talks I had ever given. I got back in the car, I called him and was like, oh my gosh, it went so well. And he's like, yeah, I know. I could have told you that it was going to go well. So that moment, I had this experience where I was like, wait a second, I can feel that way and still do really well. So ironic, because I knew this from studying sports psychology theory. I knew that there was a difference between feeling sensations in your body and worries in your mind. So when your body feels those nervous sensations, it does not have to prevent you from doing well. It doesn't. It's actually been proven that the way your body feels doesn't impact performance. So the two athletes out there, one who is feeling that heart pound and that sweatiness and that anxiety, the physical anxiety, that person up against someone who's worrying and doubting themselves, the physical sensation person is going to do better. So that's, I hadn't had a concrete example of that to realize, oh, this is a good fear. This is the fear of me breaking off the plateau. This is me getting out of my comfort zone, getting out of this maintenance of staying the same, being mediocre. This is the feeling that I get when I'm about to break out of that and rise to a new level. And I have felt that over and over. I felt that when I was afraid of even saying yes to graduate school. It was like I was up against this ceiling, and if I broke through it, who knows? Then I could really fail. Okay, which is something that I had to learn was that all of this was really about a fear of failure. Okay, so that good fear is like, I'm risking failure to get myself off this plateau. And it's a risk I'm willing to take. And that feels a little scary. But every time you do it, you're gonna look back and go, oh my gosh, I'm so proud. I'm so proud of what I did. Okay, so the next lesson, so that first lesson was, what does the good fear feel like? Okay, the second one is the way that you think about those sensations dictates how it impacts your performance. So if you get nervous and you go, oh no, I'm nervous, this is bad, you fall apart, you choke. If you get nervous, like I did, and you have a plan, which might be you call somebody or you talk to somebody who reassures you, you talk to your coach, you talk to a teammate, maybe that's part of your plan. And then you continue ahead and you trust that your training's in place and you are prepared. That was one of the big things that my mom taught me was you get so prepared that you can't fail. It's just not possible. And that removes that fear of failure in a big way. It won't necessarily always remove the whole thing, but that brings me to lesson number three. Coping skills are not the way to overcome performance anxiety. Okay, let me say that again. If you're able to sort of breathe and relax and like get calm, that's wonderful. Most people have a very hard time going from, I am watching my leotard pound, I feel like I'm going to pee my pants, I can't think straight, to let's take a few deep breaths and calm down. It's not a very effective strategy. When you are up there at 10 out of 10 energy and you're trying to reduce yourself to 3 out of 10 energy, it's going to take more than 6 breaths, okay? So the way to actually solve the performance anxiety issue is to prevent the nerves. So that fear of failure is what actually needs to be addressed. And when we address the fear of failure by things like those lessons, those takeaways, where every time that I had a quote-unquote failure, I learned. I had new perspective. I had more information and more awareness about myself, which allowed me to keep pushing forward and keep busting out of that plateau, even though it scared me. So getting beyond the idea of how do I calm down? How do I stop the tears? That's just putting a Band-Aid on it. What we really want to do is completely change your relationship to failure. Okay. And before you can do that, you have to change your relationship with yourself and with others. Easy, right? Ah. So I was so wrapped up, going back to that first competition, in what people thought of me. I wanted to be liked. I wanted to please my coach. I wanted everyone to be proud of me. And I felt like I'm only okay if I'm succeeding, if I'm impressing people, if I'm making people proud of me for what I do rather than who I am. And that was something that was the big transformation came through that process, through realizing that no matter how it goes, no matter how I perform, I will be okay. It will be okay. I have always been okay. I am okay. And I will always be okay, regardless of, you know, these outcomes that I have my mind set on. So today, thank you to these lessons that all came through struggles and discomfort and fear, I have figured out a way to build the confidence that it takes to feel prepared. I have a game plan. I have a mental game plan for any kind of performance. I know exactly what to do to allow the train to leave the station. And then I just can trust it. I don't have to make new decisions. I don't have to think, oh no, what am I going to do here? I already know. I have it all planned out. I have a new relationship with myself, which allows me to, that increases confidence in and of itself, but it allows me to experience less nerves. Then I can recognize those situations. I can feel those. I can feel that fear and go, oh, it's the good fear. Lean on someone who really believes in me. Set that plan into motion. And bottom line, no matter how it goes, I know I'll be okay, which allows me to not be afraid of failure. So, whoa, it's quite a process. So I'm hoping that my long process of like lots of fails, you guys can take something away. So I would love to hear, what is your biggest takeaway? What do you want to make sure to remember based on what you've heard today? And I would love for you to post that in the comments if you're here live on Facebook, or shoot me an email, rebecca@performhappy.com. I would love to know, what is your takeaway? What are you going to do differently that's going to allow you to not struggle with those nerves? And finally, so that you can keep track of all of these little tips and tricks that I'm going to be giving you throughout the next few weeks, make sure to join our free Facebook group, which is the Sport Confidence Accelerator on Facebook. So you can just search that or click the link. Okay, I'll see you again soon. Thanks for being here. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode of the Perform Happy Podcast. If you're ready to unlock your maximum sport potential, head over to performhappy.com and join us. You'll be training alongside world champion athletes and Olympic hopefuls. And I will personally take you through my research-based system for overcoming fear and mental blocks, building confidence, and finding your flow. I'm Coach Rebecca Smith, and I'll see you next time.